efforts to reach a ceasefire in the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza so far are going nowhere. Fighting is intensifying, another brutal collision in a decades-long, seemingly unsolvable conflict. Our next guest is certainly not alone in urging the sides to find some common ground, or at least stop shooting. But her personal experience is like that of few others. Claire Hajjaj grew up the daughter of a Palestinian father and a pro-Israel Jewish mother. She's written a novel based on the story of her parents' marriage. It's called Ishmael's Oranges. And she recounts how on her mother's side, the shadow of Russian pogroms and Auschwitz death camps fell over the family history. Her father's history was in Jaffa, outside Tel Aviv, when Zionist paramilitary groups arrived with tanks and mortars. Her family eventually fled the region, losing their home. Through these stories, her parents managed to find some common ground for a while, and even love.
They met in the UK in the summer of love, 1967. So by then, we'd already had the Suez Crisis. We'd already had the Six-Day War. The memory of 48 was still incredibly fresh. But for these two people, they didn't see the conflict in each other. They just saw two people who understood each other fundamentally in ways that other people didn't. Maybe they were pushing back to a certain extent against their own very, very dominating cultures. And that, I think, is the reason that they were able to come together despite the terrible conflict that was already tearing their communities apart.
It's not so hard to see how two people can fall in love with each other, focused on one another when conflict rages around them. But it makes me wonder the pressures they faced from the outside. Their relationship may have been strong, and even understanding one another, your parents must have faced enormous pressure either from their own families or their own communities or just from the political world at large.
Well, first and foremost, the families. I think they experienced a great deal of shock and confusion at first. But don't forget, for a Muslim, and my father's not a religious man, I mean, the families themselves were not necessarily very religious families. But for the Muslims, Muhammad himself had a Jewish wife. So it wasn't completely unheard of that a Muslim might marry a Jew. So for them, I think they eventually came to think after the initial shock, well, maybe she will be absorbed into our society and the children will by default be Muslim. They will be Palestinian because their father is. For my mother's side, I think it was more difficult. My grandmother certainly had a very hard time with it. But here was a man who had an Israeli passport because he'd stayed in Israel post 48, who spoke Hebrew, probably about as Jewish as a Palestinian could be, if you see what I mean.
And you, as the child of this couple, this current conflict that's raging between Israel and Palestinians in Gaza and Hamas is not the first one. And all throughout your life, you must have faced this very same question, which we ask again today, what your perspective is like. It's one thing to say, well, I've got a foot in both camps. It's quite another to see two worlds tearing in opposite directions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, the last few weeks, in fact, for as long as I can remember, I've been on the front line, if you like, of seeing these two communities tearing themselves apart. They're my family. I have the curse, if you like, of being able to empathize with both perspectives. And that's a very, very confusing place to be, because here are two narratives that are incredibly similar. We have two people who are both obsessed with a story of loss, a story of conflict, of hate, of being driven out of homes, of having families scattered to the winds, of trying to rebuild their lives, of looking back in pain and fear. This is the story of the Palestinians and the story of the Jews. And I've heard both stories bitterly, angrily told to me throughout my childhood. And how on earth is a person supposed to choose between these stories? I know that many people, many of your listeners perhaps, already have an ideological position on one or the other. And that's a very comforting certainty to have. But it doesn't reflect the reality of these two communities. And for me, I can't choose. I can't hate either.
What does justice look like to you in a case like this?
Justice is a very, very tough word. I mean, one of the things that I always, I remember when I was 5 years old and I was in a car with my mother and she was telling me why we were living in the Middle East at the time and my grandmother, whose name is Shapiro, was coming to visit us and she told me, you know, we can't really talk about her last name in front of anybody. And I had no idea what she was talking about. And I said, why, Mama? And she said, well, she explained to me for the first time. It was the first time I really understood where my family came from and the huge chasm that separated these two, my mother and my father. And since then, I have asked myself many times, who is right and who is wrong and what does justice mean? What would be the right thing to do? I'm not sure that now I have an answer. One thing I am pretty sure of, and it's been proven through history again and again, not just in the Middle East, but elsewhere, that you cannot have peace if your starting point is righting all the wrongs of the past and resetting everything back the way that it was before and doing it with complete security. That is simply not a possibility. So I would prefer, rather than talk about justice, to talk about what can we do now, not to make sure that our ancestors get justice, but that our children have peace, freedom, and security. My daughter carries both heritages. She needs to be at peace with both of them. She also, I hope, will be able to carry the best of both forwards. I do believe and have to believe that there is a huge population out there who would like to be able to come onto the middle ground with me. If only there were the space to do that, if only there were a pause to do that, and are prevented by their leaders and by the enormous and strangling burdens of history. I don't want my daughter to grow up with that being the inevitable future.
Your own parents, Claire Hajjaj, lost middle ground eventually. After 25 years, decided to get divorced, correct?
They did.
And was it their disparate identities that played into that, or was it unrelated?
Well, that certainly played a role. Their identity certainly played a role. I mean, they were two people who drifted further apart in their political identities the longer they were married rather than closer together. And maybe that was inevitable given the horrendous attrition that has surrounded both societies since 67 to today. And obviously there were personal reasons too. I mean, the end of a marriage is never, never simple.
The novel is Ishmael's Oranges by Claire Hajjaj. And before we let you go, Claire, is there hope for the characters at the end of your novel? Is there hope for this situation?
It's a cliche to say, but there is always hope. It may look very faint. Certainly the book tries to come from the perspective that even when hope for political resolution may seem very far away, that the personal connections that we forge as human beings, when we can see each other's humanity, Jews and Muslims, Jews and Palestinians alike, that connection in itself provides hope and can spread and can endure. And if there is hope for these two peoples, it exists in the will of two societies to live in peace.
Claire Hajjaj is author of the new novel, Ishmael's Oranges. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Support for The Takeaway comes from TiVo. Simplifying home theater setup with a single device that delivers all cable TV, on demand, and streaming from Netflix and Hulu Plus. More at TiVo.com.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.